May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the coming bridegroom. Amen. Our text is the gospel today, the parable of the bridegroom, the 10 virgins. We pray. O Lord, plant your word deep in our hearts this day. Cause it to grow in us, producing faith, repentance, readiness, watchfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do I have what it takes? That's the question for each one of us today, no matter who we are. Do I have what it takes? We should think very seriously of that question today. If you take on a new job, you probably ask yourself the question, do I have what it takes? Do I really have what it takes to do this job? Or if you're exercising strenuously at something and you're right in the middle of it, you might ask yourself, do I really have what it takes to continue and finish exercising? I don't want to quit. Or if you're out Christmas shopping and you got the cart full of stuff, you might ask yourself, do I really have what it takes in my wallet and my bank account to pay for all this stuff? Do I have what it takes? And so after hearing the gospel, this famous parable of the 10 virgins, each one of us must ask ourselves, self-examination, do I have what it takes to enter the feast? Do I have what it takes to get in the door before it shuts, to be with my bridegroom? And what does it take? Oil. It's a parable all about oil. The difference is oil. Either you got the oil and you're in, or you don't have the oil and you're not in. Do I have oil for my lamp? That's the question. Do I have oil for my lamp? This is eternity. This is heaven or hell. In or out. Oil. Let me today say four things about oil. Oil is all important here. So we all know what the oil is. Where do we get the oil? Do I have the oil or not? So we leave today saying, all right, I'm ready to go to the feast. I got the oil. I'm going to keep getting the oil. Number one, 4 points. What is the oil? The oil undoubtedly is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. You're going to enter the feast. You got to have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives faith and keeps you in the faith. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no faith. There's no keeping the faith. And you're left out and you go to hell. The oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because throughout the Bible, oil is always a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So it would be here too. In the Old Testament, kings were anointed with oil as a sign of the Holy Spirit coming upon them to give them power to be a king. Priests were anointed with oil to set them apart by the Holy Spirit to do their function of being a priest. They're set apart by the Holy Spirit. Prophets sometimes anointed with oil, the same reason. The sick sometimes were anointed with oil, even in Jesus' day, as a sign of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Give you faith, keep you in the faith. The idea is that Christ is the great olive. All right, we're talking about olive oil here. Olive oil was very common back in that day. And the idea is that Christ is the great olive. And he is pressured and squeezed in his suffering and death. As he is pressured and squeezed and dies, blood comes out. Water comes out, communion, baptism, water. And oil comes out, the Holy Spirit comes out, he's poured out at Pentecost. And now the oil of the Holy Spirit is available to all the people to give faith, to keep you in the faith. The parable is pretty simple. The bridegroom is Jesus. The 10 virgins, the outward church, those that at least look like they're Christians that are in part of the church. The feast is heaven. The bridegroom returning is the last day when he comes back. The lamp or the torch is faith, or good works that flow from faith, both. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Good works are compared to a light, a lamp that flows from faith, and the oil that fuels the faith, that keeps you in the faith, that keeps the light burning, is the Holy Spirit. You got oil, you're in. You don't have oil, you're out. No matter how pretty you are as a little virgin, how wealthy you are, who your mom or dad is, Either you got it or you don't. You know, we sing the children's song, "This Little Gospel Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. We could add another verse. "This little gospel light of mine, the Spirit makes it shine." Say with me. We won't sing it, okay, Pat? Say it. "This little gospel light of mine, the Spirit makes it shine." He's the fuel behind it. He's the oil. Point number two. The oil is in rich, rich supply. It is abundant. Back in Jesus' day, olive oil was everywhere. You get olive oil everywhere. Merchants and dealers had it. Something you got to have. By Roman law, if you were out at night, you had to have a torch by Roman law, or you'd be arrested or maybe killed. They wouldn't think you were a thief or a robber hiding in the dark. You had to have a torch or a light, and you had to have 15 minutes worth of oil in your flask along with it. Common thing, like today, to drive in your car, what do you have to have in your car? It's called gas. Okay? And there's gasoline all over the place. If you run out of gas, you're a fool. Talked about that in Bible class today. I drove by at least 10 gas stations on my way here. If I run out of gas, I'm just foolish. Because there's gas everywhere. Go get some. There's oil everywhere in that day. Get some. Merchants and dealers have it. Go get some. It's abundant everywhere. The five foolish virgins have no excuse. They can't say, "Well, I couldn't find oil." Baloney! It's everywhere. They just put it off. They procrastinated. They had other things to do. Putting on the dress, doing the hair, the makeup, giggling and talking. Oh, forgot the oil though. And so the Holy Spirit is widely abundant into the world today. Where do we get the Holy Spirit? Is it flying in the air somewhere? Over here in a corner somewhere? How do I get the oil? Where's the oil at? We'll go back to the parable. Where were they supposed to get the oil? The oil is not floating in the air. Not over here in a cave. They're told, go to the dealers, the merchants, and buy it. It comes in a container, a flask, go get it. Duh. So where do I get the Holy Spirit? Where can I get oil for the lamp, fuel for my faith? Go to the dealers, the merchants, who nowadays are called pastors. Here you have the office of the ministry in the parable. Pastor Roberts and I and all pastors, we are dealers and merchants of the oil by the calling of God. What's the container for the oil then, Pastor? Do I go get it in your office somewhere? It's called the Word of God. The Word of God that we preach and teach, it's a container for the Holy Spirit. He's there. So hear the Word of God gladly. It's fuel for your faith, the Word of God that we preach and teach all over the place. And it's widely available. We have a school that teaches it. We preach it in church Sunday and Wednesday. You cannot say, "Well, the Word of God is not my church." Baloney. The Word of God is here. Baptism, another container for the oil. When Pastor Roberts and I baptize you, here you get the Holy Spirit. It's available. The font is right there for you and your kids. Tell us you want to be baptized. We'll instruct you or baptize your children. It's available. Not trying to hide it from you. And communion. The body and blood of the Lord. And with the Lord comes the Holy Spirit. You eat His body, drink His blood. A container for the Holy Spirit. Fuel for your faith to keep the light burning. We have communion about every Sunday, every Wednesday. You can't say, "We never have communion." Baloney. We have it all the time if you come. And get the oil for your lamp. It's widely available. And it's free. Gas will cost you over $3 a gallon. And yet you're there pumping the gas, complaining. And the word and the sacrament, the oil for your lamp is free. Paid by Jesus. Sometimes we're too lazy to come and get it. And we wonder why the lamp's going out. You know, I read where someone bought on auction the original drawing of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Piglet. I don't know how long that's been around, but someone originally drew Winnie the Pooh, Tigger and Piglet. You know what that original drawing sold for? $50,000. $50,000 someone paid for a picture of Winnie the Pooh. Piglet's cute. Tigger. And here in church we have not a picture, we have the real living Jesus. We have the real Holy Spirit, not pictures and drawings, but the real thing. Real oil for your lamp, and it's free. And yet so many are like the five foolish virgins who just don't get around to doing it. Point number three, the oil cannot be shared or borrowed. Very important part of the parable. Each person must get his or her own oil. You can't borrow it from somebody else. The five foolish virgins, they wake up. That's a picture of the last day. We all wake up after our sleep in the tomb. And they want to borrow oil. But they can't borrow the oil. You got to go get it. But then it's too late. It's a picture of the last day when a lot of people, the unbelievers, and some people with their names on a church roster but aren't really Christian. Only God knows that. I don't know that. But it's a warning here. Many will be pounding on the church door. Open up, Pastor Busher. I want to be baptized. My kids want to be baptized. Hurry up. We want to be baptized. Teach us the gospel. Hurry up. The bridegroom's there. Hurry up. I won't be here because I'll be up there with Jesus. Sorry. You had your chance, but I'll be up there at the feast myself. And the door is locked. There'd be a lot of people wanting the church on that final day. Pounding the door. Give me the oil. Need fuel for my lamp, please. Too bad. The bridegroom's here. The door's locked. There's a lesson here. You cannot get into heaven on grandma's faith. Grandma might have been a great believer. You can't get to heaven on her oil. You can't get to heaven on your mom's or dad's oil. You can't get to heaven on the pastor's oil. You got to get your own oil. Every one of the virgins, my own oil, my own flesh, it's got to be mine. It's a very personal parable. Each person stands before God, either you're in or you're out. Not getting on anybody else, but you get in by Jesus, of course, the bridegroom himself who died for you. You see, I can preach the word of God and encourage you to hear it and believe it, but I can't make that happen. That's on you. I can encourage you, have your children baptized, be baptized, come and learn, and encourage you. It's oil for your lamp. I want you to say, I can do all that, Pastor Roberts can, but we can't make you do it. That's on you and on your kids. I can encourage you to do confession, absolution. Come, confess your sins. Hear the absolution. Come confess to Pastor I privately if you need to. That's fine. We'll absolve you of your sins. Oil for your lamp, forgiveness of sins. We can encourage you, but we can't make you do it. That's on you. Encourage you to take the Lord's Supper. Come to the table. It's the body and blood of Christ. Forgiveness of sins. Oil for your lamp. Come. But we can't jam it down your throat, can we? That's on you. That's on you. You can bring a horse to water, but, Pat, you can't make it drink. There's a note of missions here in this text I noted. The five wise virgins, what could have they done for the five foolish virgins as they're waiting for the bridegroom? You know, getting all prettied up like the bridesmaids would, talking about the bridegroom coming. What could they have done? They could have asked two questions, simple questions. Do we all have oil because we're going to have to walk here? Do we all have oil for our lamps? It's like asking, do you have gas in your car if you're going somewhere important? Do I have gas? All right, easy question. They could ask, do you have oil? And if you don't have oil, I'll go with you and get some. Let's go get it right now because we got to have it. So two things the wise could have done for the foolish. Two things you can do for all the unbelievers. Ask them, do you have oil for your lamp? Are you a believer? Are you baptized? Do you have Christ? Are you saved? And if not, come to church. Come to the merchant, my pastor. Come to Pastor Robert. Come, they'll teach you. Teach you the gospel. Have you baptized? Come, come, come. But I imagine the girls were too busy in the story doing makeup and hair. And no oil. So often all we do is talk about all the shallow things of life, sports and the economy and all that silly little shallow stuff and never get around to the oil of salvation. And finally, in the most important lesson here, point number four, get the oil now. Get the oil now. Say with me, get the oil now. Don't wait till it's too late. It's the most important lesson. Get the oil and get it now. The five foolish virgins, they're not axe murderers. They're not thieves. They're not idolaters. They're not pagans. They look like they're ready. They plan to go. They have every good intention. They're waiting for the bridegroom. They think we're ready to go. They look good. And yet they're not ready. And they're left out. And they hear the bridegroom say, "I don't even know you. Who are you?" Wow. What a slap in the face. An eternal slap in the face. So half, mentioned this in Bible class, half are not ready in the parable. This is just incredible. This is, as I mentioned in class, this is like half the church going home and running out of gas. Oh, what? Half of you went home and ran out of gas? Are you dumb? There's gas stations. Go get filled up. Is half the church, half of the people on membership rosters really not ready? Is that a lesson here? Half of them? Not just one, but 5 out of 10 aren't ready. Is the Lord telling us something here? Shaking us up a little bit? Are you really ready? You may look good, have every good intention, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Are half, 225 people on First Lutheran's list really not ready? I don't know. Only God knows, but I am the prophet who warns from the parable. The great news is that the bridegroom has not yet come. The bridegroom, as we sit here today, November 6, 2011, has not yet come. Why hasn't he come? Does he have cold feet? No, he loves his church. He died for us on the cross. He married us at the cross. We're his. He hasn't come because he knows that many are not ready. He knows that many don't have the oil. He knows that. And he ever longs for the five foolish, get the oil and get it now. I'm coming to get the oil. I'll give you a little more time. But get the oil and get the oil of the whole world. Get the oil out there, church. Spread the gospel. He's patient, wanting all to repent. That's why he hasn't come yet. So you can get in now. Be baptized. Have the kids baptized. Be confirmed in the church. Learn the gospel. Take communion then. Do it now. Get your friend to do it. Your neighbor to do it. Do it. Get the oil and get it now. Ann and I have talked about going on a cruise, but we haven't got around to doing it yet. No big deal. We've talked about going out west to the Grand Canyon, see all the sights, but we haven't done that yet. Not a big deal. We've talked about going to Dollywood of all places. We haven't been there after 12 years. Haven't done that either. No big deal. Put all that stuff off. It doesn't matter. But baptism, now that's a big deal. You don't put that off. Hearing the gospel, that's a big deal. Don't put that off. Being confirmed, taking communion, that's a huge deal. Don't put that off. Get the oil. Get the oil now. Get the oil. Say with me, get the oil. One more time. Get the oil now. Oh, before I say amen, get the oil. Get the oil. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.